Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.
Welcome to another Brick in the Wall with Alistair Anderson of Property Flash. And today we're joined by the man who can find meaning in a J803 index chart faster than most people can say distribution yield, Gareth Elston from Golden Section Capital. October was, by all accounts, a bullish month for the sector. So we're going to unpack Gareth's latest report, which somehow manages to link fried chicken, NVIDIA and data center REITs into one coherent paragraph. Well, that's range, certainly, Gareth. Welcome. Let's just start with October's 8.1% total return on the All Property Index. Very hard to ignore that. Was this rally built on fundamentals, better earnings, lower inflation, or was it just yield-hungry money chasing whatever wasn't nailed down?
Hi there. It's great to be back. And yeah, I think it was another good month for the sector, which is good to see. And it's nice to see South Africa really being one of the top performers globally as well, which is great as well. To answer your question, I think it's a little of a mix of all, but it's primarily based on good reporting, good results, good guidance, good income that's coming through. And I think we finally really, you know, for the whole of the year, actually, we've been seeing a good recovery from where the sector had been languishing. Obviously, we're not going to be doing as well as resources have, but all things considered, this is backed by real growth and real stability in the sector, which is wonderful for a change.
And tell me, Gareth, I mean, Redefine came out with results this week. They're pretty strong. I think all the funds generally have had pretty decent financial results. You know, Andrew Koenig, CEO there, said it's not just a market thing. He says he's got good assets. Do you agree with him? Are they outlying really good companies, or are they all riding a wave of positivity?
No, I think the companies have been working really hard over the last 5 years to fix up their portfolios. And all of them pretty much have been getting rid of substandard assets, moving out underperforming assets, and really trying to streamline their portfolios. And it's starting to pay off now as well. And it's coinciding with a little bit of stable economic news. Let's not say good economic news, but things are stable. But with that, they've really fixed up a lot of the balance sheet issues that were facing the industry, you know, if we go back 6 years plus. So it's really bearing fruit for most of the large REITs. And it's definitely a lot more fundamental than just everyone sort of being raised by the tide. Because to be honest, the economic tide really isn't raising very much at the moment.
Yeah.
So it's really the companies of actually starting to reap the rewards of having done the hard things.
And now we just need the Saab to come and play ball as well. Because, as much as the REITs have done the hard work, they brought the LTVs down and they're really focused back on the fundamentals again. We do need to see interest rates start to come down. And I still scratch my head, Gareth, like you do in your note, as to how the Saab can remain hawkish, given the fact that our inflation is not much higher than what we're seeing in the US and developed markets that have significantly lower interest rates. And I think this current Saab governor, as good as he is, and don't get me wrong, I have the highest respect for Lesedi Khanyago, but he has now become almost defined by this adherence to the 3%, and he's ignoring the reality on the ground. There's very little demand side, demand pull inflation. If anything, it's only coming from cost push, and that's administered prices. Do you think the MPC risks turning its credibility into a liability now by hesitating too long to cut?
I do. And I think it's, I raised this over the last couple of months, actually, in the reports, is that I think we've really missed significant opportunities to actually reap the benefits also of what they have been doing over the years and getting the stability. We've had the currency performing well this year, all things considered, in the crazy global economic situation we find ourselves in. Growth is not there. Inflation is not what it could be. It certainly, it has little flashes of concern, but nothing where it makes sense that we didn't actually cut in the last meeting, and nothing, again, to say that it shouldn't happen in this meeting. But there's this little niggling concern that you have someone, think that this is the solution to a non-existent problem is to maintain rates. And it's really that I think will hurt the industry, and it'll hurt consumers as well, and it's going to hurt the economy. And it potentially is going to create a problem that they're trying to stop from happening by happening if they just keep sitting on their hands and actually not going forward where they should at the moment. I just don't understand the thought behind it, to be quite honest.
To be honest with you, Gareth, I think the Lesedi needs to go. I think he's been there way too long. It's something to do with our government. They like to sit around for years and years. You know, Cyril Ramaphosa, he wished the women's cricket team good luck for the final, and he's wearing a Bafana Bafana shirt. So I think these people are no longer relevant, to be honest with you. But speaking about that, if you look at our sector, if you just kind of look at 2025, I mean, how impressed are you with what property funds have done, with what management teams have done, and how do you kind of see them doing in 2026? Because hopefully there's optimism in the world and there's optimism in South Africa.
Yeah, look, globally, it can turn on a dime, especially in the environment that we live at the moment. Is it takes one crazy Truth Social post, and we start looking at bizarre things again. But if we can remove that and things remain stable, I think we are on a good path. Should the SARB cut, I think we start to get a little bit of inflation of the economic bubble coming in, which will help drive the sector as well going into 2026. If they don't cut at the next meeting and we carry on in this sort of going around the drain kind of thing, it's not really going to be that positive. There's only so much that the companies can do without the government assisting to get some real growth going through. So I think it's cautiously optimistic at the moment of what we're looking at, but it's probably not going to be the same type of returns that we've had this year. But if we do start to get some glimmers of economic growth coming, then you know we're back on again. But the sector has really performed very well this year. Let's say globally, it's performed exceptionally well. If you'd circled out of South African funds and you went into global property at the start of the year, you are not a very happy person at the moment. And we're not really seeing, if we look at the risk factors, yeah, also very different to a lot of the risk factors that drive the global property side, especially in the US. So it's still looking cautiously optimistic for next year. So we're hoping it's all going to come to fruition, but probably not to expect the same type of results that we've had, returns we've had for the last 2 years. It's probably not going to carry on to that same level, but it should be positive.
Yeah, and I am seeing early concerns amongst the market commentators I'm chatting to about a broader market correction, which would be due. I mean, just globally, if you look at the run that the US market has been on for the last 15 years, everyone's wondering when it will happen. And we're starting to see the first signs, many of it around the AI CapEx hype. I think we saw very famous trader Michael Burry come out of hiding for the first time in 2 years and tweet. He's now very famously short Nvidia and Palantir. Gareth, you've coined one of my favorite terms of the year, the fried chicken phase of the AI bubble, where markets trade on symbolism rather than substance. For listeners who haven't read the report yet, explain what you mean by that and how in the world it connects to listed property.
I can't claim that. So that belongs to Robin Wigglesworth of the FT. And it really goes to a meeting that was held in South Korea between the CEOs of Nvidia and Samsung, where they basically went out for some delicious South Korean fried chicken. And you then had a movement in fried chicken adjacent stocks, including everything from fried chicken chains through to an automation company that worked on automating robots to cook fried chicken of almost 30% on the day, which is just, I've seen this before, going back to I did venture capital back in 2020. And it's when it starts to do this type of stupid thing, you really get concerned. And if we look at the movement in the US market, it's done extremely well, but it's really being driven by, 7 to 10 stocks, and it's starting to disconnect from reality again. And it is a concern, and you're really starting to see these companies as well feeding off each other. Nvidia's buying chips, then Nvidia is taking some of that money and is putting it in data centers, and Microsoft is then investing in AI companies, and it's a very circular economy at the moment. And should some form of friction come into this, think back to January this year where you had that massive sell-off just on the DeepSeek results that came out of what the Chinese AI model was doing. It caused a massive move. So it's done extremely well, but it's probably very fragile if things really start to move south, and especially if debt costs start to go north in the US again, and if debt starts to dry up as well. There's this, you could see this machine come to a very quick halt, and it will have major repercussions for the global economy, probably.
And I mean, if you look at that, given this global froth, but also the fact that we could potentially then see some air coming out of this bubble, would you say South African property is starting to look like a bit of a safe harbor? Boring, high yield, but a safe harbor again?
It is much safer in terms of those factors because the bulk of our returns really are underwritten by real returns. There's not a lot of froth in our sector at the moment. Despite the movements that we've had, it's really been moving back towards levels that are actually prudent. We haven't gone into the previous markets where we had, you know, this massive nonstop capital raising. Well, we're seeing a little bit of Vukile at times as well. So that sort of flashes a little bit amber as well, the amount of capital that they keep raising. But in general terms, most of the companies are delivering returns that are based on reality. And it is a good offset to international markets where we're not seeing a lot of this. And it goes back to, you know, even if you look at US data centers, you'd think, geez, this year they must have done extremely well. Well, you know, if you try to make that call and try to ride data center REITs, you really have done nothing this year because they're not doing that well, because they're basically just spending money trying to keep up with the hopeful demand that comes through. Now, if that doesn't materialize, US REITs are probably going to have another bad year as well, especially if the US stops cutting rates, which they indicate they might, and potentially start looking at going back into an early raising season, which will be probably pretty catastrophic for US REITs. So it's going to be, I think, an interesting differentiator to keep exposure to South African listed property from that sense.
So Gareth, tell me this. If I'm one of Donald Trump's illegitimate children and Papa Don gives me 10 million rand to invest in South African stocks, where are you putting your money in property next year?
I still think the law, I'm not going to tell you the names to choose on. I try to always avoid going, you know, to that way. But, you know, if you look at our large diversified companies, they're still performing very well. They've still got a lot of levers to pull in terms of getting incremental growth and defensive growth coming through. So they're doing quite well. There's still some pretty big discounts to NAV, as well as some of the large South African REITs too, which is definitely something to look at. We've got a couple now that are starting to get close to NAV and some that are slightly above it as well. So, you know, I wouldn't really be that excited by a few of those that are there. But I think there's still opportunity with a couple of the large REITs. And we saw that last month with pretty spectacular movements, really, with, you know, Growthpoint doing over 15%. You know, Redefine up over 8.6% last month, and after results actually popped quite a lot too as well. So they haven't got a lot of love, a lot of the large cap REITs, but they definitely still have some room to move, and they're quite stable. And if you're looking for something within your portfolio that's not going to be shooting the lights out on the up end, but certainly is not going to be collapsing like a deck of cards either, is you also, you know, the large cap REITs are probably an interesting place to still look at for some incremental returns and stability.
Well, Gareth Elston from Golden Section Capital, always a pleasure. Thank you very much. From interest rates to interest in fried chicken stocks, I think you've managed to give us a full market meal tonight. Either way, for now, the listed property sector still looks pretty finger-looking good from where I'm sitting. But as Gareth reminds us, the trick is to survive the punchline. That's it for the episode of Another Brick in the Wall with me, Michael Avery, and Alistair Baron Trump Anderson. There's something you're not telling me there, Al. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.